This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
...of different languages for Canada's 150th. I got in touch with Hindi. Hindi did the translation, and here we are.
A half-hour special on the making of Yiddish Show Canada will air on Vision TV on June 26th at 9:30 p.m. But in the meantime, you can hear all about it on this weekend's Zoomer Week in Review tomorrow at noon, right here on Zoomer Radio. The U.S. government is trying to get a lawsuit against President Donald Trump over his foreign business dealings thrown out of court. Jackie Quinn reports from Washington.
Justice Department lawyers say none of those suing President Trump have suffered an injury that would give them standing in court. But the plaintiff's lawyer argues that some of them compete with the Trump hotels and restaurants for business from foreign governments. Attorney Deepak Gupta says there have been many presidents before Trump, but none with this type of business entanglement with foreign governments.
The lawsuit filed earlier this year seeks to force Trump to divest his business interests. Government lawyers say the Supreme Court has long held that courts have no power to issue those kinds of orders against sitting presidents. In sports, the Blue Jays lost 4-2 to the Mariners. They play again tonight in Seattle. Marcus Stroman on the mound for Toronto. No sweep in the NBA Finals. LeBron James and the Cavaliers forced a Game 5 on Monday with a 137-116 win over the Golden State Warriors in Cleveland. Rafael Nadal takes on Stan Wawrinka tomorrow in the French Open men's final. Simona Halep faces 20-year-old Yelena Ostapenko this morning, just getting underway in the women's final in Paris. We'll have the weather details next.
The Shaw Festival presents Me and My Girl. Updated by Stephen Fry, it's the funniest, catchiest, most infectious musical of the summer. Come see what all the standing ovations are about. Me and My Girl. Book your tickets at shawfest.com. The Shaw Festival in Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario. It's the perfect intermission from life.
The weather for the GTA, mainly sunny today with a humidex of 33, down to 20 overnight. Mainly sunny again tomorrow, a high 32. Right now, 19 degrees, 66 Fahrenheit. We'll have news next at 10 on Zoomer Radio.
Here is Libby Znaimer with The Zoomer Report, the boomer's guide to living well. Brought to you by Shoppers Drug Mart, your health made easier.
Here's an important finding about sleep as we age. A review from the University of California, Berkeley suggests that some seniors lose the ability to get deep restorative rest, and this contributes to medical conditions including dementia and depression. People who wake up multiple times during the night can miss out on the deep stages of sleep, and that can cause a vicious cycle. Medical conditions and the treatments for them can be the cause of sleep problems, but poor sleep can also contribute to disease. Researchers say that when it comes to dementia, deep sleep helps clear the brain of the amyloid beta proteins that build up in people with the disease. And similar processes may be at work with other diseases, too. And while the study authors don't want people to panic if they're sleeping less than they used to, they advise consulting a doctor if you routinely sleep less than 6 hours a night or lack long consolidated blocks of sleep. A healthy diet and exercise are critically important, especially because regular exercise contributes to better quality sleep. Bottom line, the researchers say sleep is a key factor in successful aging. With your tips for living well, I'm Libby Znaimer with the Zoomer Report.
The Zoomer Report is brought to you by Shoppers Drug Mart, your health made easier.
The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin is brought to you by Stokes Seeds. Select from the finest quality vegetable and flower seed at StokesSeeds.com and get growing with Stokes.
Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. on The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And good morning on this beautiful Saturday morning from the sous chef at The Garden, Frank Proctor. Nice to have you along here to join Charlie and I as we face, what date is it? Oh, the 10th.
It's a hot one.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be really a scorcher.
That's right. I think they're saying it's going to like feel like, I don't know, 35 or 6 here in the city.
And be careful when you're driving around because a lot of cyclists out this weekend. That's the Ride to Conquer Cancer is on. I got caught coming into the station on Lakeshore, just west of Bathurst. Mm-hmm. Everything just crammed up. And I, oh, man.
Lakeshore's closed.
Yeah, and they're not actually publishing the route, which doesn't make a lot of sense.
There is no route.
Yeah, I guess not.
Yeah, the announcement about traffic is traffic is really bad today. And there's closures everywhere, but nobody knows where they are. So take your chances in your car.
Forewarned is forearmed, I guess. In any case, never mind all that jazz. We're here to have some fun. And Charlie, of course, will answer your questions. First, we got to get you to call in. Well, if you're in the Toronto area, here are the phone numbers. 416-360-0740. And then anywhere in the province, toll free, 1-866-740-4740. A little mantra that we always pass out of the, I don't feel like passing out as a matter of fact. No, it's call early, call often, one question per call. And if you are a first-time caller, please let Sebastian know when you call in. And this is what you'll hear when you get to the air. At your little welcoming the wings.
Garden wings.
Yes, indeedy.
All right. I'm a bit distracted because I was just explaining to you a sleep aid that...
Well, yeah. Let me preface this by saying... I sometimes you wake up in the middle of the night and I can't stop my brain.
Yeah.
You know, you're this
spinning.
And this, that, and the other. And so you come up with a great suggestion.
Well, I shared this with you because it's been working like a charm for Elliot. He has the same issue that, you know, sleep for 2 or 3 hours, wake up, and then can't get back to sleep.
Yeah.
I think it's stress, right? I mean, it's just life and stress. Anyway, I picked up, and I know it is available in other locations, but I picked up from the Toronto Botanical Gardens a little tiny bottle of lavender oil.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the essence of lavender. It's from France. You know, it's pure, pure, pure. And he read up on it, and he discovered that if he puts a couple of drops of lavender oil in the palm of his hands just before he's going to sleep and putting his head down, he rubs his hands together, cups his hands over his nose and mouth, inhales deeply 3 or 4 times through the nose and mouth, slowing things down and, you know, sort of calming the heart, the brain, everything. And then he just kind of wipes whatever's left on his hands, on his, you know, temples and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Lies down and sleeps like a baby for 6 hours.
Well, now, isn't that something?
Yeah, and he's been doing that for a couple of months, and he said it's been working like a charm, and he's a big fan of lavender oil, so I'm suggesting it to you.
There you go. I'm going to give that a shot.
I think you should. And, you know, looking at the web here, there's a lot of uses for lavender oil.
Unbelievable.
Not just calming and, you know, anti-stress and anxiety and sleep.
Bee stings.
Yeah, everything, yes. Kind of like Epsom salts. Good for everything.
Yeah, darn near. Okay. You've got some announcements you've got to have.
I've got to, because today, my big announcement for today is, remember, I'm in St. Catharines after the show.
That's right.
It's the 160th anniversary of the St. Catharines Horticultural Society. Big event at the Grantham Lions Hall, which is 732 Niagara Street in St. Catharines. From 2 to 4:30, there will be a tea, there will be me, and there will be, you know, much...
tea and me.
And hopefully drinking of wine, raising our teacups or our wine glasses, one or the other. So come to that if you can. Remember, garden days have started yesterday. Coast-to-coast 10-day celebration of public gardens and gardening in general. So there's a ton going on all across the country. There is a good website, which I won't be able to find. Okay,
we'll discover that.
Yeah,
later.
Just Google it. Okay. You know, gardening days. I should have put it on here. I meant to. Forgot about that. Okay, tomorrow, the Georgetown Horticultural Society, at least I know the days, is sponsoring a rip-roaring, that's their term, garden tour from 10 a.m. till 4 p.m., so tomorrow in all this heat, 10 gardens, including town and country properties. Tickets may be purchased tomorrow at the first house on the tour, which is 25 King Street in Georgetown, only $10. And it's garden tour time of year because Toronto Botanical Gardens is hosting their big Through the Garden Gate tour today and tomorrow. We're talking 30 gardens. It is the 30th year. They're showcasing some really swanky gardens in North Rosedale and Moore Park. So if you like to get in the backyards of the rich and famous who don't to ever invite you into their back gardens, it's a great opportunity. Self-guided tour, of course, but excellent information is provided along the way, not as well as a shuttle bus, so that's a great one. So for more information, of course, you can just call, go straight to the TorontoBotanicalGarden.ca website, go to the, pick up tickets on site. What else is going on? Oh, yes, I have something here from the Riverdale Horticultural Society, June 14th, this Wednesday, the annual flower show and strawberry social.
Well,
I love those strawberry socials. I always think they should be outside, though. However, there will be an annual flower show and strawberry social that will be judged by Barbara Twiner. She's going to explain the finer points of judging to help everybody with their chances in their future exhibits and competitions, because you know horticultural societies and those gardeners, man, they are just knocked down, competitive. They want those little ribbons to wear around. Of course, Riverdale Hort Society meets at 7 p.m. at 816 Logan Avenue, just south of the Danforth in the Frankland Community Center.
Okay, it's 9:13, and we have a whole raft of folks lined up, including Josephine from Pickering,
who
is first in again. I think she gets up at 6 o'clock and starts making the call right about now. Anyway, we'll be joining Josephine and a whole bunch of other folks very shortly here on Zoomer Radio, the garden show on the air from the Zoomerplex in Liberty Village.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, Charlie, let's see what problems you can solve for some folks this morning. All righty, we'll start out with, once again, Josephine, first on the line from Pickering. Good morning, Josephine.
Good morning, Frank and Charlie. How are you this morning?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. I did my gardening early because I'm not going out today, tomorrow, or Monday.
Good for you.
That's get it out of the way. Okay, I got a question for you.
Yep.
For Mother's Day, my daughter brought me an azalea plant.
Oh, lovely.
It was beautiful, full of blooms.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the blooms are dying off.
Mm-hmm.
And there's sticks. Now, I notice at the bottom of the plant, new shoots coming. Mm-hmm. Shall I cut those, I'll call them sticks, off, the branches off, and let the new stuff come? And will it bloom again?
Okay, so it might bloom again. They often do. The trick is to not have allowed those leaves to fall off. It's all about water. Azaleas love water. And so if you're the kind of person who likes to water every 2 days, azalea is your plant. But, of course, you always feel the surface of the soil. And as soon as the surface of the soil starts to feel a little bit on the dry side, water. They also like lots of sun.
Yes, so, I realize that. I had it in the front the front room, because I face south.
Oh, perfect.
Now, when you say about losing the leaves, you mean off the existing branches?
Exactly.
They're gone.
Yeah. So
shoots are coming.
Yeah, so it obviously dried out to such an extent that it lost the leaves. Yes, you could try pruning back everything that has no growth on it.
Right.
Keep that water, you know, keep the water on the plant, you know, check it every couple of days, particularly if it is in that sunny south window. You could also pull it back from the window. It could be, you know, 6 or 10 feet away from that south window. It just likes a lot of bright.
Okay, don't put it outside.
Oh, yeah, you could put it outside, too. That's not bad. I wouldn't go straight into full sun, though. Go into the shade to start, and then half-day sun, half-day shade. And again, make sure you stay on the watering. And I've had azaleas for years and years, and they just regularly will bloom quite beautifully. Every winter, they bloom just very naturally in January, February, March. Again, it's keeping them when they come in the fall, bright window, keep on the water, do fertilize every month or so. And, yeah, they're wonderful houseplants.
So if I fertilize now, and it was well watered.
Okay. Oh, it was. Oh, so maybe it was overwatered? But that's hard to do.
I don't think so, because I always felt the soil.
So I don't know why it would have lost its leaves then.
I don't know. I don't live right. Let's put it that way.
Well, look closely. Make sure there is no insect pests because that can be a problem. You know, like look really closely. That might have been why it lost the leaves.
Okay, then.
All righty, Josephine.
Have a good weekend.
Yeah, you too.
Same to you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Out to Oakville. Here we go. Charlie saying hi to Suzanne. Hi, Suzanne. How are you?
I'm just fine. Thank you, Frank. Hello, Charlie.
Good morning.
Good morning. I don't have any problem with plants, but I do have a great deal of problem with little green worms.
Yeah.
My husband and I are inundated with these.
Yeah.
Now, our home is a ranch bungalow, and there's a canopy of trees over it. These green, tiny little things, very skinny, very thin, about a half inch long.
Oh, so
are everywhere.
I wonder, so, I mean, you're in Oakville. Cankerworm is all in the news right now.
Oh, it's called cankerworm.
Yeah, but they're not green. When they're tiny, tiny, cankerworm almost looks a bit like a tent caterpillar.
Yellow.
Caterpillar. So they're, you know, it's dark stripes. But,
some of them are, and they're a little bit hairy.
Yep, yeah.
The green ones are not hairy at all.
Right, but either way,
not hairy,
you're inundated.
There are thousands of them, Charlie.
Ooh.
I'm not joking. They are crawling up the brickwork of our home.
I know.
They are so gross.
I know. People are talking. I've heard, you know, they feel like they're barricading themselves inside. They just don't want to go out. It's all slimy.
You
could slip on the sidewalk.
Oh. And we're able to see them on them when they come and go in and out.
Yeah, yeah.
So, of course, we pluck them off with Kleenex tissues and whatever. They land on our shoulders and on our clothing.
Yeah.
There are so many.
There's two things. One is this will pass. Those canker worms, any of those worms, caterpillars, will move on in terms of their life cycle.
Okay.
So this will not go on forever. At the most, you're going to have a problem for about 7 to 10 days.
Okay.
Or if you want to try and do some control of that insect and kill some of them, what you would use, what's most commonly used on soft-bodied caterpillars is something called BT. B as in Bob,
yes.
T as in Tom.
Oh, BT, okay.
Yeah, so BT stands for Bacillus thuringiensis. You don't have to worry about spelling that.
Bacillus. No, I won't. I'll just leave it at BT.
Thuringiensis is a bacteria. You buy it in a bottle at the store, you mix it with water, and you spray this bacteria onto the insects, and that bacteria will kill them.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's
now,
and it's completely. It's, you know, insects have cycles, and we're just in a cycle of high population of these particular worms, and this will go on for a couple of years, actually. We always talk about seven-year cycles.
Not this many.
No, but you will have lots probably next year as well. Partially, it's the kind of winter we have.
Oh.
The problem is they're eating all the leaves, and
they
are going to kill some trees as a result.
They did, little ones, yeah.
So I know the Mississauga City Council is talking about getting organized and doing some aerial spraying next spring with BT. They would do that spraying in the middle of the night, like when everybody's sleeping.
So
anyway.
Now you got the answer to kind of what you can do.
Yes,
Suzanne.
I have it, Frank.
Okay.
Charlie, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks.
Just to know that they're a temporary resident.
Yeah, exactly.
Ooh,
good luck with that.
That sounds creepy. 9:23. Got to take a little bit of a break here, and we'll be coming back to go to Smithville, a great little town.
No, Smithville's gone.
Oh, Smithville.
Maybe still there. Yeah, well, we'll see.
Anyway,
we're going
we'll come
somewhere.
Back to who's ever next online momentarily here on Zoomer Radio.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, Charlie, let's say hi to Nina, who just might be around the corner here in Toronto. Hi, Nina. Welcome to the show.
Hello, and thank you for having me on. Yes, I actually just live up the street.
So nice.
Oh, good.
Welcome.
I am asking you, Charlie, about my bleeding hearts plant that's in the shade of my grapevine, alley, if you will. It's in a large flower bed. I love the bleeding hearts. Trouble is, each year it grows bigger and bigger, and it's beautiful. And then when it's done, it wilts and falls down, all of the limbs fall down, and leaves a nasty gap in the middle of my yard for the rest of the season.
I know.
Much so that I feel like ripping it out and just putting something else there. What's your advice?
Well, you know, actually, I have the exact same thing happen. I have a back corner in the shade where the bleeding heart comes up and then the bleeding heart goes down. If you had some sun in there, any way to provide some sun, bleeding hearts will stay up all summer if they get some sunshine. It's just the deep shade that they go to sleep for the summer. The other thing is you could switch to a different form of bleeding heart that has a much fringier leaf. And it's a smaller plant. It doesn't grow as tall as the regular bleeding heart. It only grows about 8 inches or thereabouts tall, as opposed to 2 feet tall that the big ones grow. And it stays up all summer. And I'm just blanking on the name, but it is Dicentra, which is the proper name, and I will double check.
You've given me enough.
Yeah, it's got a if you Google fringe leaf bleeding heart or Dicentra, it'll come up with another version, which is excellent right through the summer and will keep blooming all summer.
And that it will bloom in the shade.
Yep.
Well, that's what I need, because unfortunately, we shouldn't complain about this, but I have a very shady backyard with just little snippets of sun at certain hours.
Yeah, I mean, and the other thing is I have other plants that sometimes come in and fill after the bleeding heart. So I have things like Monarda that comes up, and there are some great bee balm or Monarda plants that will handle shade and bloom and support the pollinators, etc. And even something simple like hostas. A big hosta is always a little bit slow to emerge, but it can emerge and sort of come up into that area where the bleeding heart was.
Yeah, well, the hosta that I have is all around it. It could easily choke it out if the bleeding heart wasn't so robust.
Yeah, vigorous.
So eventually it does, but it takes to the end of August for the hosta to fill in that space. So this is what I will do. I will just find another one, and maybe I'll find another place in the yard for this particular bleeding heart.
Yeah, and don't hesitate to control it, because as you point out, it really wants to take over. Like, it'll just keep filling. If there's space, it'll take it.
Okay, good. Thanks so much, guys. Have a great
weekend.
Thank you.
You too, Nina. Thank you for calling in. And pardon me, getting all choked up here.
I know.
You're listening to the Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin here on Zoomer Radio. And the phone number is 416-360-0740 in Toronto. Anywhere in the province, toll free, 1-866-740-4740. And we're off to Georgetown. There's Sharon. Good morning, Sharon. Hello, Sharon.
Oh. Hi, how are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Good. I've got two little baby bunnies. Well, they're kind of partially, they're not full grown yet, in my yard, and they have eaten the tops off my petunias. Impatience. They have devoured a couple of little hostas, and they have worked on a hosta and a spirea bush that I just put in. And I have a cage, but they don't seem to want to go to. And even my neighbors have been trying. They took four of the cages if they, because they're having the same problem. And I wondered if you have any solution.
Well, yeah, that's a tough one, because, and I know some of our listeners will have some solutions as well. I mean, the dog, the cat, they can be good at keeping the bunnies in check. But if you don't have any pets that will help keep the bunnies down, my one suggestion that comes to mind is a product that was designed originally to control elk. It was designed originally, I believe it was in Finland is where it comes from. It's called Plant, so P-L-A-N-T, just the word plant, and one word, skid, S as in Sam, K, Y, D as in dog, and D as in dog again. So Plant Skid. I have seen it in, you know, regular Canadian Tires, Home Depots. It's completely organic. You spray it onto the plants that you're trying to protect, and it's an excellent repellent, deer, rabbits, voles, and small critters.
Oh, okay. Because I did put some, like last night we went out, because I just noticed that had attacked the back part of the spirea bush, the baby spirea bush. And so we went out and put screening around some of the things that they have. But, I mean, you can't screen everything.
That's the problem, yeah. And that's all you really can do. Yeah, you could put, like, cages around your plants as a way to protect them
I have a large garden.
Yeah, you can't do that. Yeah, I would try the plant skid. You know, let me know how it works. I mean, it's very well recommended. I can't... I saved baby bunnies once years ago, and the bunny network knows that. So the bunnies, actually, they wave as they go by into my neighbors. They never chew at my house. Touch wood. So I've never had to repel them. Mind you, I have a lot of cats, too. Maybe that helps.
I don't have pets, so.
Yeah.
Okay, I will try plant skid, and thank you very much for your suggestion.
Okay, you're very
Sharon,
welcome.
Thank you for calling 932. I once experienced a weird thing. There were 10 bunnies in a row, and they marched about 10 feet away from me and turned around and kind of gave me a little wave, and then they kept going and stopped and looked back at me. What I realized was, my God, there's a receding hairline.
I knew. I knew that was going somewhere.
All right. Hey, that's for Bill in Cambridge, first-time caller. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Frank. Hi, Charlie.
Welcome to the show, Bill.
Oh, thank you. I just heard you mention about plant skid.
Mm-hmm.
I had a deer visit last night and ate a couple of my hostas right down.
Oh, yeah. They love hostas.
Like celery stalks now.
Yep.
So will they come back at all?
They probably will. We're still early enough in the season. Allow the little bit of green that's still there to stay there. As long as the little bit of green celery stalks are sticking up, the plant will continue to photosynthesize. It's got, and that will provide energy, which will allow new leaves to emerge. But okay. You're right, that deer now knows where you are and has just marked you on its own personal little Google map, and it will wait until those hostas have grown back, and it'll be back for another bite to eat. So you're another good person. Try this plant skid. Let me know how it works out. It is an excellent repellent for deer and bunnies and all kinds of things.
I've heard about hen manure. Will that work as well?
Well, any of the manures, you know, blood meal is a good example. These, they have a very specific aroma that animals don't typically like. But the problem is we get rain and you're watering, et cetera, et cetera. These things wash down into the soil and disappear and are no longer effective. So, yeah, and you can't just keep applying blood meal or hen manure because before you know it, you've over-fertilized your plant.
Yeah, that's right.
So, I mean, good idea as a top dressing, no question. Any of the manure is well composted. But, yeah, it's kind of a one-shot deal.
Okay, well, I'll try the plant skid.
All right, yeah, give it a try. Let me know. I should be getting, you know, some money from these people.
Yeah,
I keep promoting their product. So, you know, a number of years ago, back when I used to work at White Rose, we used to sell something called Zoo Poo. And
Zoo Poo was
composted manures from the zoo. So it was animal, you know, elephants, lions and tigers and bears. And the thing is that the animals don't know what those are, but they know they're scary.
It was quite
effective as a repellent. But again, you couldn't keep applying it every day.
Yeah.
All right.
My cat doesn't scare the deer away, so I have to do something else.
Okay.
Good luck with that, Bill. And thank you for joining us here on The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio, AM 740 and 96.7 FM in downtown Toronto. Well, off we go to Scarborough now. Elizabeth, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Wait.
Oh, good morning.
Oh, sorry.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a very old tea plant. And in the winter, we have a walkout from a basement, so it sits in front of a patio door, so it gets some light. In the summer, I put it out, and it's under the deck, so it's sort of a bit shaded.
Mm-hmm.
But it's now about 4 or 5 feet tall and only has leaves, a few leaves on the very top. Somehow I'd heard that you could cut that off and put that stump in the earth and it would grow. Is that...
Okay, so just to be clear, you're calling it a tea plant, but it's actually I would call it a Thai plant. T-I?
Oh, T-I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a Hawaiian, tropical plant.
Yes.
Very, very nice plant. Very pretty, colored leaves.
Not anymore because it's got this long
stem,
stalk, and just a few leaves at the top.
Okay, so cordyline is the proper name for anybody who's listening and wants to look up what we're talking about. So cordyline, D-Y-L-I-N-E. So what do you do? Yes, after many, many years, so many of those plants, you've got a lot of trunk and just a little rosette of leaves up on the top.
Yes.
So, yes, you can cut that top off. But okay. What do you do next? You can't just jam it into a glass of water and hope that roots are going to grow the way it would if we had taken a cutting of a coleus, for example. So you would cut that off. You lay it on a piece of newspaper in a – it could be inside or outside, but not in a hot, sunny situation, just in a – you know, on a kitchen counter or whatever – and wait till that cut stump dries. Might be 2-3 days. Okay. You don't want it to be oozing any liquid, so it has to dry down a bit. Then the challenge is getting the roots to grow, and you will go into a sand or vermiculite, something that's well drained but will hold moisture, and you will jam that trunk into either sand or vermiculite that's kept moist constantly. And I would use some rooting hormone called stim root.
Yes, I have some of that.
Right. So you're going to dip, once you've got that dried down stump, you're going to dip that stump into some water. Then you're going to get some of that powder on that cut end. Then you're going to go into your moist medium, whether it's sand or vermiculite, and you are going to prop that up so there's no movement from the plant. You're going to keep it in a bright spot. Again, it could be outside. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be in full sun, but it should be bright. And check it. It's going to take a while. Check it in 2 weeks. You're going to pull that up out of the vermiculite. That's why vermiculite's great, because you can go in and out of vermiculite without damaging any roots as they start to grow.
Yes.
At some point, you're going to start to see a mass of white tissue, sort of bubbly stuff happening, growing at that cut end, the edges of the end. And then at that point, you're going to get your container and your fresh potting soil, and you're going to pot it up.
Well, now, are you saying that you use the cut end that still has the leaves and do this?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So it has to have the leaves, because I couldn't just sort of in the middle cut a chunk of this long stalk.
Yes. Actually, there's a lot of ways you can propagate this plant from the stem. So you can try keeping the top, doing what I just suggested. You can also keep the bottom,
yes,
which will have a stump, but don't leave it, you know, a foot high. Bring that down to 6 or 8 inches high. And be careful about overwatering. But given energy in the root, there are buds that are currently completely dormant that you can't see along that stem. So a bud can burst forth. It won't go straight up. It's going to come out the side and then go up. So you're going to lose your shape, right? You'll have a straight stem and then a L coming up. So a bud very likely could emerge and start new tips there for you.
Oh, okay. Because that would be, so, I mean, then I'd have some bushiness
down
near the bottom, as opposed to, to 4 feet off the ground.
Oh, well, that's right. No, exactly. And like when I say taking that top off, you are not going to try and root that entire 4 foot stem. No, 3 feet of that stem is either going in the compost.
Yes.
Or a third way to propagate is you chop that all up into 2-inch pieces, lay that 2-inch pieces, you know, the 3-foot stem, 2-inch pieces lying on their side, half buried in moist sand. And again, dormant buds will grow up. It's there's multi ways to propagate. So if all else fails, just Google propagate cordyline or Thai plants.
Okay.
All righty.
It's a lot to explain on radio, particularly.
You've got a real job ahead of you there, Elizabeth. Thank you for contacting Charlie for the help here on Zoomer Radio, The Garden Show. And by the way, let me give Charlie's email address. Some of you might like to get a hold of it that way. It's c.dobbin, D-O-B-B-I-N, at mzmedia.com, 940. And we'll be back in a moment to say hi to Ziva here in Toronto.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And Charlie, I can just imagine folks waiting for this show to end, and they're going to scoot outside and get a lot of work done before the real heat hits for today, because it's going to be a warm, warm day and tomorrow as well.
Either that or we just strip down. Keep the hose on, stick it over your head, keep going.
There you go. All right. Siva in Toronto. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
I was already in my garden at 5:30.
Whoa.
I want to cry because they're being eaten to death.
What? Who's eating?
There's this little yellow bug. I don't know. It ate all the leaves on my squash. They look like polka dot leaves, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, my problem is I planted a squash, and it's drying at the top and splitting open. What could be the problem?
Okay, so
the bottom is green, but just coming up to the leaf, it's dried up there and it's beginning to crack.
Right, but I think that's an insect that's causing problems there. Mm-hmm. There is an insect called a squash bug.
I know that one. It attacks my zucchini every year.
Oh, okay. So, and what do you do about that one?
Well, I try to cut open the zucchini and tuck him out, you know, but it's still. I got just a few, but it died off eventually.
Right. So, I mean, just looking here quickly on the web, of course, always one of the most important things, and good for you that you are out so early this morning. One of the most important things is early detection.
Yeah.
And we are at that time of year. Yeah. You know, we've been busy pulling weeds because with all the rain, the weeds have been taking over. But now we're at that point. We've got to be really critically examining our plants on a daily basis.
Okay.
And that way we can detect problems before they become a big issue.
Yeah, because the stems were so thin, I didn't think it would be a bug, but I don't know, you know, because they're now beginning to shoot up.
Yeah. So,
all right.
So look very closely, as you said, if you're seeing the insect, if it's a little yellow insect that moves slow enough, you can squish it, do so. Remember, there are contact insecticides that are very available for us to use on any of our plants, edible or ornamental. So the contact insecticides, meaning the insecticide must contact the insect in order to be effective.
Okay.
And that can be a soap-based, so safer soap, or our own little mixes of soap and water. And the other are the pyrethrins, the most probably biggest name out there is Bug Be Gone, and Bug Be Gone is pyrethrin based.
Yeah.
So following the instructions, and just like you were out there early this morning, that is when you would do your spraying. It's very early in the day, not when it's hot, when the sun is beating on the plants.
Okay, I'm afraid I'm not going to get my squash. You saw the pictures my daughter sent you? So I'm dying to think that I'm not going to have any squash this year.
It's not too late to replant.
All right. Okay.
Right? It's still only early June.
First, all right. You know. I'll get right on it.
Okay.
All right, Siva.
Thank you.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Siva.
Thank you. And, the time there is 9:47. So, yeah, we can get another call in before a break. In Oshawa, there's Jean on the line. Good morning, Jean.
Hello. Good morning, Charlie and Frank.
Good morning.
With so much rain this year, I have a rhubarb plant that is covered with a lot of white seeds. And is it possible that these white seeds, I can plant them again and have some rhubarb? If possible, how do I let them ripen?
Huh. So your rhubarb has already flowered and the seeds have matured already?
Yes.
Wow. It's only June. That seems so early, but okay, I guess that's possible. The rhubarb that you have, did you plant it yourself or was it there when you moved in?
I planted it myself.
And so it was something that you bought or somebody gave you?
Oh, I brought it from the farm.
Oh, from the farm. Okay. So hard to know because there's rhubarbs and there's rhubarbs. If this is, if the selection that you've planted that was at the farm was a hybrid, which is probably not. Yeah, probably the seeds. I'm just wondering whether the seeds will breed true, meaning will the seeds look and taste the same as the mother plant that's producing the seeds, or will there be some diversity within that seed population?
Yeah,
and it's just because of the genetics of the plant. So, bottom line is allow the plant to do what it would naturally do. Allow those seeds to mature on the plant, and then naturally they would drop very close by. Your job would be to, once they're ripe, scatter them just a little further away so they're not falling right in underneath the leaves, and then keep them moist, obviously, just sowing them, lightly, not deep, and let them be. They may need, I'd have to double check because I've never grown rhubarb from seed. They may need winter or something to force that germination to happen. But in the meantime, be Mother Nature and allow them to ripen on the plant and keep them close to the plant. And I can even report back rhubarb seed
Wonderful.
Starting.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Charlie.
Okay.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
It.
Thank
From
you for joining
farm.
Us, Gene.
Rhubarb is so good.
Yes. Oh. Yeah, we've got some growing out there in a little plot of land. And Shirley was saying the other day, we were just passing by in the driveway. Stuff. Oh, gotta cut that rhubarb.
I know. When I was a kid, it was always that we used to, it was like a real treat.
Yeah.
Because you only got this for a short period in the entire year. Harvest some rhubarb. Of course, you take away the big blade, the big leaf, but you keep the stem.
Oh.
And then you get like a little custard dish. Mm. No. You get a little custard dish and you put white sugar into the dish.
Yes.
And then you dip the rhubarb and you just bite it like fresh with that sugar on the cut end. Oh, that was what a good treat that was.
Delicious.
Yeah.
Okay, we've got to take a little bit of a break here and then come back to say hi to a listener in Elmville, Ontario. You're listening to The Garden Show here on Zoomer Radio.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, phlox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And here we are. Charlie and I are having a great discussion about where you're appearing.
That's right. Well, I mentioned I was going to St. Catharines today, but I am appearing in Ennismore, the Horticultural Society, this Thursday, 7 o'clock. I just don't know where. I mean, I do know where. I just don't have that information with me.
Well, so if you'd like to tell Charlie where to go.
Ennismore looks like a really sweet town, though. It's in the Kawarthas. I'm very much looking forward to the drive
I'm
there.
I'm sure you'll be welcomed with open arms.
I hope so.
In Elmville, there's Sylvia. Good morning, Sylvia. Welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
Good morning.
Good. Good morning. I just want to know, I've been putting boiling water on my patio for weeds over and over again. And sand keeps on coming out because of the
ants,
I guess, right? Now, is it plain boiling water? I heard something about vinegar also with boiling water.
Yeah, you don't need to do vinegar and boiling water.
Oh.
It's one or the other.
Oh.
You will find, you don't use straight vinegar out of your cupboard, though, because that's not toxic enough. You need to buy, and if you, you're in Elmville, so any garden center or home building store right now particularly has on its shelves something called PATH, so P-A-T-H, PATH, clear.
P-A-T-H?
Yeah, PATH as in pathway, clear. And you'll see there'll be a little picture on the bottle, and it'll show interlocking stone with little weeds growing up between the stone.
Pathway clear.
Yeah, or And so, and you just spray that, preferably on a nice hot sunny day like today, onto your weeds while the sun is beating down on your weeds, and they will turn yellow right before your very eyes. Now, if they're very old weeds with big honking roots, you may have to spray again in a couple of days.
And but, I also get the moss growing in between.
The vinegar is unlikely to kill the moss. It might, though. It might kill the moss as well, particularly if it's hot and sunny. So, you know, if you don't like the moss, that's an idea as well. And the ants is a little harder. I use boiling water to try and discourage ants that keep coming up between my patio stones as well. It's a bit frustrating.
And then the sand comes up, and then I try to
put it back in.
The sand in between the cracks.
I know, and there's always sand left over, right?
Yes, exactly.
Because they're tunneling it from below.
Right.
And it's pretty hard. So you've always got like a scoop full of sand. Like, what do I do with this? And so that goes into the garden. But the ants are a challenge for sure.
Yeah.
I consider myself an ant herder. So I try to herd the ants off my property to my neighbor's property.
They love you for that.
Because you can't kill them. You won't ever win that battle.
You just can't get rid of them.
No, you'll never.
You just keep on doing it over and over again.
Exactly. You just want to make their current location an unhappy one for them so that they will move. Like I say, there's ant out or, those kind of ant sprays.
That's what my husband was using.
That will kill on contact. But, of course, there's a whole nest underground that you're not necessarily getting.
Right, so just keep on putting the boiling water in over and over. I thought maybe there was a period that you just do it for so long and you get rid of them.
There are some poisons. There's some little bottles of, it's called ant killer. And if you look, what's the active ingredient? It's borax and sugar.
Yeah. And well, so, we have a dog, too, so.
Wouldn't like this, and it wouldn't hurt the dog either.
Oh.
You just put it out. You make, like, little, I sometimes will make, like, a just like a little carport, if you will, for the ants. So it's just like a piece of tinfoil or, a, you know, it can be even a piece of cardboard. And you just put a couple of drops of ant killer, and they love it. Like, you'll have 100 ants all ringing each drop, and they take these little drops back to the nest and hopefully and theoretically kill the nest.
Now, which is better, the pathway cleaner or the boiling water?
Okay, remember, we're going to use the pathway cleaner for weeds and the boiling waters for ants. I don't think you'll find the boiling water will kill your weeds, particularly if they're not young. Very young weeds are easy to kill.
Oh, I see.
Okay, Sylvia. Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much for the call, and hopefully those suggestions work out for you to kill off the weeds and the ants.
I know. It's never ending.
Kathy in Etobicoke. Good morning, and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Charlie Frank.
Good morning.
I have a question. My hibiscus. Mm-hmm. Is growing straight up like a weed.
Mm-hmm.
It's very pretty, but the top leaf, really, really pretty, just before it starts flower turned yellow.
Mm-hmm. Wait, the green leaves turned yellow?
Yeah.
On the tip?
Yeah.
Okay. So something is happening for that to happen. Number one, if it's growing straight like a arrow, I would be cutting off or pinching the tip to get some branching, because you just aren't going to like that if it's just tall and straight and narrow like that, probably. So a little bit of branching will help fill the plant out. But if the tip where the newest growth is turning yellow, you have to look closely and see what's going on. Because that's... It's never a problem when old leaves turn yellow. We always get worried when new growth turns yellow.
It's not the new one. It's one of the big leaves.
Oh, okay. So it's all right. Again, look closely. Look at under the backs of the leaves, tops of the leaves. Ensure that you're not overwatering. Hibiscus does like to dry down fairly well between waterings.
Okay.
But they are susceptible. They're very tasty plants. So you will. There's white fly that can become a problem. You know, look closely for any movement of any insects. And then again, it's one of those appropriate. Soap and water sprays, if indeed you see any living insects on the plant.
Oh, Charlie, how easy are they to take them in the house in the fall?
Pretty easy. I just give them a good thorough washing before I bring them in.
I always do that, but I haven't really tried to take these guys in from outside. But this year I bought huge plants, huge hibiscus plants.
Well, it does to some extent come down to what your conditions are inside. You need space for them, and I like to put them in a nice, bright, sunny spot. Okay.
Yeah, thank you, Kathy. I'm sorry we're just running fresh out of time. Yeah.
What happened?
The clock is just charging on us here, and Dave's Corner Garage guys are here.
I know. I can hear them revving their engines. Can't
Charlie,
slow those guys down.
You're off to St. Catharines.
Yes, your old stomping ground.
Have a wonderful time down there.
I will. And what are you doing this afternoon?
Well, I'm on the air from 1 to 3:30, and we'll have some fun and play all sorts of wonderful music.
And you've got a Frankie's Funny Bones?
I do at 2:30.
Yeah. I think that's so funny. I'm tuning in. Oh, I won't be able to tune in. I'll be in St. Catharines by then. All right. So to report back next week, rhubarb seed, how to get that started. And that website is gardendays.ca for lots going on in your neighborhood.
Excellent.
And across the country. Thanks, everyone. See you again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.